Blog Talk Radio.
And now I present to you that International Bible Teacher of Teachers, Seer Israel of Seedwell. He will utter dark things and mysteries which have been kept from the foundation of the world, showing us the way to go. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yahweh bless you there. Seer Israel of Seed Royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, young lion. Sound like you up to snuff and ready to do your part there, young lion. And that's a great thing. We'll take care of your part, and that's what it's all about. See, if we all do our part, everything's going to be all right. If we do our part, that's all we got to do. Luke. Chapter 12, verse 12, if you can get something going on there, young lion.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12 reads, "For the righteous spirit to teach you at the same hour what you ought to say."
The righteous spirit will teach you, young lion, what you ought to say. And let's take a look at the book of Corinthians there, young line. Let's look at the book of Corinthians and see, since the righteous spirit teaches what we ought to say. Now, Paul was invited to the northern kingdom.
in the 11th chapter, and he said something to them, that young lion. He said something to them in the 11th chapter. And let's find out what did Paul say to them in the 11th chapter of Corinthians. Let's see exactly what did Paul say to them in the 11th chapter. He went to visit the northern kingdom, and he said something to them in 1, 2, and 3. What did he say to them, 1, 2, and 3? 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1, 2, and 3. What did he say to that young lion?
The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1, 2, and 3. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Yahweh the Son. Verse 2. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinance as I deliver them to you. Verse 3. But I will have you to know that the head of every man is Yahweh the Son, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Yahweh the Son is Yahweh the Father.
That's real nice. So that's the order things, huh? Let's get down to verse 23. Let's read a little bit and see what he's saying in verse 23. Let's read a little bit. Down to verse 26.
Verse 23. Down to verse 26, it reads, and I received of Yahweh that which also I delivered unto you, that Yahweh the Son, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this, is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Verse 25. After the same matter also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so Yahweh's death till he comes.
So he wants you to show his death till he comes. He said, every chance you get, you do this remember me, but you're showing his death till he's come. Now, how many times do a man die? Do a man die 4 times a week? Or do he die once? And on that day, it's the Remembrance Day. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, y'all, I think of verse 1. So, they'll create something called communion and everything after Yahweh the Son's death. But you only dies on that specific, that day that you die. Every time that day come up, that's the day you remember him. Or when that day come up, the day of his death. What day he died? We're going to find out. Let him tell you, let Paul tell you exactly what's going on in the 5th chapter, verse 1, down to verse 8. What it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 8, young man.
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, down to verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as name among the Gentiles, gathered Israelites, that one to have his father's wife. Verse 2, and you are puffed up and have not rather more than he that have done this deed might be taken away from among you. Verse 3. For I truly, as absent in body, but present in spirit, and have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. Verse 4. In the name of our Yahweh, Yahweh the Son,
When you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Yahshua, Yahshua the Son. Verse 5. To deliver such as one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Yahshua, Yahshua the Son. Verse 6. Your glory, your honor is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven the whole lump. Verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Yahweh the Son, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Verse 8. Mm-hmm. Therefore let us... Verse 8. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Mm-hmm. So we find out that Yahweh, the one that they ignorantly call Christ and Jesus, he's our Passover. So he's our Passover. He says that often that you do this, you show his death, so he let you know he's the Passover. So when, how many times do the Passover come? The Passover, is it every week? Let's find out when is the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. You know what I mean? When is the Passover? He said, like, show his death till he come. So how many times is the Passover that we can read? Let's find out how many times is the Passover in 12 verse 1 and 6. And then we'll skip down to verse number 14. 1, 6, and 14. I'd like to know how many times do the Passover come every week? Since he's the Passover lamb, the Passover come when? Exodus 12, verse 1, 6, and 14, and 24. 1, 6, 14, and 24. What's in that, y'all learn?
The second book of the law, the heavenly tablet, the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 1, verse 6, verse 14, and 24. Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, Mizraim, saying, verse 6, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, Abib, with the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, the Israelites, shall kill it in the evening. Verse 14, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you should keep it a feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You should keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Verse 24. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever.
Mm-hmm. So this Passover, this feast day of the Passover coming up, he's supposed to observe it forever. He said, now, you're supposed to do this Passover as long as you live. You're supposed to do this Passover. How you supposed to do? And the big of 23, 1 down to verse 6 says, what, El? I mean, a young lion. Well, it says that we can read in Leviticus 23, 1 down to verse number 6.
We're going to the book of Leviticus of the heavenly tablet, chapter 23, verse 1 down to verse 6. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 reads, and Yahweh spake to Moses, saying, verse 2, speaking to the children of Israel, the Israelites, and said to them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be righteous gathering, even these are my feet. Verse 3, 6 days of work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, a righteous gathering, You should do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh and all your dwellings. Verse 4. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even righteous gathering, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month, a beer at evening is Yahweh's Passover. Verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahweh. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm. So as often as you do this, you're showing his death. And so he is the Passover lamb, so you show his death on Passover. Because he said in Matthew's 26, he got all his followers together, called disciples. He got them all together there, young man. He got everybody together. In 26th chapter, he got them all together and started talking with them a little bit. Let's see what he said to them in the 26th chapter. And let's see what he says, 1, 2, then we'll skip down to verse number 17, and we'll read down to verse 29, 17 to 29. Let's learn something on the way of learning something. But what is this all about in 26, verse 1 and 2? Matthew 26, 1 and 2.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 1 and 2. 17 to 29. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Yahweh the Son had finished all these things, he said unto his disciples, his followers, verse 2, you know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
Hey, hold that point. Hold that point. That's real good. So he to be crucified when again? Read that verse 2 again. When is he to be crucified again according to verse 2? Read that 2 again.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 2. You know that after 2 days in the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
So he'll be crucified on Passover. So back to that Corinthians chapter 5 there, young lion. So back to that Corinthians chapter 5. And what do we say again in verse number 8?
The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Verse 7.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened, for even Yahweh the Son, our Passover is sacrificed for us.
So he's our Passover. He's our Passover. He is sacrificed for us. Now come back and read again that, let's see another word for the sacrifice. What that word mean according to 26 verse 2. What that word mean? He's our Passover lamb, and he's to be sacrificed for us. So what's another word for sacrifice? Let me read Matthew 26, verse 2, young line.
Look at Matthew, chapter 26, verse 2. You know, after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified.
Oh. So being the Passover lamb, he sacrificed for us. This man is to be crucified. He's to be killed. So he's the Passover lamb. So when we read 1:29 and 36 of St. John, young man, I think we might be on something. So now, he says, as often as you do this, you show his death to his coming. His death is on Passover. So John recognized who this guy were, according to the scriptures, and 1:29 and verse 36. He recognized this Yahweh the Son, and what did he call him in St. John 1:29 and 36? What did he call him there, young man?
The book of Job, beloved Job, chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. John chapter 1, verse 21, verse 29. The next day, John see it, Yahweh the Son, coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 36. And looking upon Yahweh the Son, as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Lamb of Yahweh, take away the sins. He's taking away the sins. And they said, often as you do this, you show his death. And what we're looking at now, you're supposed to do the Passover. This one, he show his death. Passover. Passover, Yahweh. Not communion. Not communion that you do every Sunday. It's Passover. Not Easter, what you do on They just give you a day. They just give you a day for Easter. Easter come on every Sunday. I don't know how they got it going on, but it never be on the first month of 14 days. They all over the place. No, when a man shed it down, that day is his remorse day. The old day you shed it down, that the next time that year is your remorse day. Not no other day, but that ain't a day you shut down. I don't care if it's 100 trillion million years. So that day is the day you shut it down. Now, come on back. You got the understanding. Let's pick up verse 18 now, young line. So now, he's going to tell you about a specific word he's going to use. And I want to bring out for the national audience. And then we're going to bring Mother E in, because Mother E going to be riding shotgun with you, young lion. Like I said again, she prepared to do one thing, get in what she fit in at, lead by example. But then things jump off. She said, Look, I'm right there. I'm ready to harden that microphone. And that's a great thing, Mother E. Bring her in shortly. Speaking of verse number 18 there, young lion's read a little bit. Let's see what he's talking about in 18 down to verse 29. Let's see what he's talking about. Come on.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 18, down to verse 29. Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, Go in the city to such a man and say unto him, The master said, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at my house with my disciples, my followers. Verse 19.
Hold on, young line. Let's see again in there. At thy house. But what he called himself, he said, tell him the master. Oh, that's a big word right there. So on that word right there, let's bring Mother E in. On that word right there called master, that's a big word. Now, he said, you tell them the master said. See, that's big talk right there. So that's called big britches talking, the master says. See, the master, we got to run that down. Let's bring Mother E in and meet and greet our mother out of Camp 1. But allow our boy say, hey, Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, Yahweh bless you, see right.
Yahweh bless you, see Israel, so see Lord, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, mother. My mother, that was a powerful word. That he just said, Mother, I want young line to read that verse again and listen to the tone of this conversation. That was some stout words, Mother. Those were some stout words we just heard. Read that verse again, young line. That was a stout word we just heard. Verse 18. No, verse 19. Yeah, 18. What verse 18 say? Hold on, young lad. Take a deep breath. Pause. We ain't in no hurry. That's plenty of time. Pause for a minute. Take the time and deliver the knockout blow. Verse 18.
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, go into the city to search a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. Follow.
Now go and read that verse again without stumbling and bumbling around there, young man. Go and read, take a deep breath. Stop printing time. I'm not trying to get in a bunch of scriptures. I'm trying to do a little edifying for the national audience. Look at that verse 18 again. Take the time and bring it out.
Matthew chapter 26, verse 18. And he said, go into the city to search a man and say unto him, the master said. My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.
Okay. Now, Mother Eve, you want to find out that's a powerful word he used by master said. That's a big powerful word he said, master said. Now, I need to find out who just was just talking. But I'm struggling right now, Mother, on this master said. Now, when he told he didn't talk like that, you going to pay attention. He told his disciples, followers, you go tell them the master said. Now, that's been talking that Mother, so we got to investigate that master. So we got to investigate, who's this master talking like that? Who's this right here? The master said, let's see what we can read, Mother, in 23rd chapter, verse 8 and verse 10. In Matthew 23, verse 8 and verse 10, let's find out about this master. This master said, who is this master, Mother, in 23, verse 8 and 10?
Matthew chapter 23, verse 8 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Yahweh the Son, and all you are brethren. Verse 10. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Yahweh the Father.
Even Yahweh the Son, Mother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the master. I'm the master around here. So I don't hear about no masters around here unless they're addressing me. So that's big talk with them, Mother. So only master is Yahweh the Son. Everybody can play with that word. But we just found out, he said, look here. Only master around here is me, Yahweh the Son. That's big talk with them, Mother. So now, young line, with all that great big talking about the master said, so that master is Yahweh the Son doing this tall talking. And what did Yahweh the Son say to the master? What did the master say in verse 19 and 20?
Book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 19 and verse 20. And the disciples, the followers did as Yahweh the Son had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 20. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12.
Oh, okay. When the evening, Mother E, what that mean when the evening has come, Mother, in Deuteronomy 16? What that supposed to mean, Mother?
when the evenings come. So you can't do the Passover when you get ready. He waited till the evening have come. So, Mother E, what time is the evening that we can read in the 16th chapter? You want to read about when is the evening to have come. Let's read verse number 6, 16, verse 6, and find out. Yeah, Deuteronomy 16, 6. Let's find out what's going on. Let's see if we draw, paint the picture about when the evening have come. What that means in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. What that means when the evening have come?
Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 6. But at the place which the Yahweh, your Yahweh, shall choose to place his name, in there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at evening. The going down of the sun at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt.
So, Mother, you can't do the Passover. Tell them, let them know they can't do the Passover when they get ready. They got to do it on the 14th day at evening after going down the sun. So he waited, Mother, to make sure that he understood that Matthew 5:17, Mother. Hey, Mother. Hey, Mother E. He understood 5:17 of the book called Matthew. He understood that verse. And what did he say in 5:17 to Matthew?
The book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17. Okay, give me one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Verse 17 means, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the seal. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
You see that, Mother? So he ain't come to change nothing. So he ain't come to change nothing. Everything was sick to do that feast day at evening when the sun did set. He didn't come to change nothing. Otherwise, he knew what he had received from his father, and they done it according to the book. You don't do this thing when you get ready. You do it the way Yahweh tell you to do it to get his blessing. But there's right there, Mother. The Passover was supposed to be on the 14th day at evening when the sun set. So when the sun set, that's the hour he's talking about. So we can't be doing the way we want to do it. We got to do it the way he got written in his book. Then we will see the blessing that's coming. So when the 13th come in and when it gets dark, that's the 14th. So that's when the evening have come. That's the hour of the Passover. You can't have a Passover at 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon because you want to see everybody around and be out there in the yard. No, you ain't doing no Passover. You're doing your own thing. If you don't do the Passover, you do it the way the man tell you to do it. You do it the way the man tell you to do it, then you're all right. The way the man tell you to do it, you're all right. That's the bottom line. So now, we got that together, Mother. So now we got that part. Let's come back here online. So now we clear. I tell you what, Mother, give me one more hit. Give me one more hit in Mark 1:32. Let me get a precept, Mother E. Mark 1:32.
The book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 32. Mark chapter 1, verse 32.
Mark chapter Mark. 1, verse 32.
Mm-hmm. Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And at evening, when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. And them that were possessed.
That's good, Mother. At evening, when the sun set, that's what we're looking for. So we know Yahweh waited for evening when the sun set, and that's when they kicked off the Passover. So So now the Passover has been kicked off. The master said, you sit down with his 12. And what happened in verse 21 there, young line? Matthew 26:21, let's read a little bit. So now we know the evening have came. The time to eat the Passover. Eat the Passover lamb. Let's see what's going on now that we can pick out of this in verse 21. Let's read a little bit there, young line. Come on.
Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, truly, I say to you, that one of you should betray me. Verse 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Yahqua, is it I? Verse 23. And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the ditch, the same should betray me. 24. And the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born.
Verse 25. Hold that point, young man. Hold that point. That's a big verse today, young man. He says in 24, the Son of Man going as it is written. Oh, well, where is it written at? Where is it written at about this? He says, the Son of Man goeth as it is written. That big verse of death. So where is it written at that this is supposed to happen to him? That's the big verse. So what can we read that it is written? Put a marker there, young lion. Let's see if we find out where is it written that he going as it is written. Where is it written at? See, when person throw out a statement like that, it's written. Then you gonna say, well, where is it written at? Where is it written at in Isaiah 53 in your line? We're going to Isaiah 53 and see where it's written at that he's supposed to taste some of his good death. You know, it says written. So when somebody say it's written, somebody might say, well, where is that at? Written. You mean it was already prophesied? And let's see where it's written at. Let's pick it up at Isaiah 53 there, young lion. And let's pick it up around by verse number 5. 53, verse 5. Let's see what's going on that we can read. It says, written about him crucified and dying and getting slapped all around. It says written. Because he said he knew his time. It's time for him to get that beat down on him. Let's see what he said in 53, verse 5. Let's read a little bit, young lion. Come on. Of Isaiah.
The book of Isaiah is here, chapter 53, verse 5. And it reads, for he was wounded for our sin. He was bruised for our iniquity, sin. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And Yahweh had laid on him. And Yahweh the Father had laid on him. Yahweh the Son. The iniquity, sin of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed. And he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who should declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the sin of my people.
was he strict? Verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Verse 10. And yet it pleased Yahweh the Father to bruise him, Yahweh the Son. He had put him to grief when you should make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. The pleasure of Yahweh the Father shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their sin. Mm-hmm. 12.
Go ahead, 12.
Verse 12. Therefore, will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the sinners, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the sinners.
Mm-hmm. So the devil was prophesied of him dying for this man. So Mother E, and Hebrews 2 verse 9, what did he do, Mother? Hebrews 2 verse 9. What did he do, Mother, on the 14th day of the first month of Abib? What did he do according to Hebrews 2 verse 9?
The book of Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. Verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. Wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto born, but the word of Yahweh is not bound.
Is that Hebrews 2 verse 9, Mother?
I was not reading Hebrews 2 verse 9.
Hebrews 2 verse 9. Exalt. Okay, the book of, that's Titus.
Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9.
I know which one it is, but I keep turning away from Hebrews chapter 2 verse 9. I guess I got it this time. But we see Yahweh, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of Yahweh, should taste them for every man.
For every man. So there he is, Mother. That was all the prophecy of Yahweh, was a taste dealt for every man. For every man, he was a taste of some of his death, Mother. So when a young lion was reading Isaiah 53, verse 12, Paul invited to the great big temple of Yahweh, and he pulled that verse, letting you know Yahweh the Son, he suffered death for every man. Every man he suffered death for, Mother. And what he says after he suffered death, Mother, what did he become according for us in verse 10? Verse 10. So what after he suffered that death, Mother, what have he became to be in verse 10?
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. But it become him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many thorns unto honor, to make the captive of their salvation perfect. Three, seven.
So he become the captain of our salvation, Mother, by him doing that suffering. So he led by example, and he become our captain of our salvation. But he paid the price for that, Mother, by suffering.
Yeah,
so he just didn't become the captain of your salvation by just having a title. No, he put the work in. By suffering. So, Mother, give me a precept on that in Hebrews 10, verse 12 and 13. Give me a precept on that, Mother. So he just didn't say, well, I'm the captain of your salvation without doing some work. He suffered to get that position. So if he suffered a little bit, we going to do something. We got to suffer a little bit, too. That's what John tell you. He's look here. You want to suffer a little bit. I suffered. I take death for every man. And let's see what's going on, Mother. We can read it. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13. Hebrews 10, 12 and 13.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 12 and verse 13. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice, for sin, forever, sit down on the right hand of Yahweh the Father. Verse 13. For henceforth, expecting his enemies be made his footstool.
You see that, Mother? So he's not dying no more for you. See, right now he finished his course, and he expecting something to happen. That those that's not going to follow his lead and do no suffering, and that's the part we don't want to do no suffering. See, we love everything else, but this part about got to get a little suffering in, we don't want no part of that. But he suffered by tasting death. But he saying he ain't doing it no more now. So he said, I will be expecting my enemies be made my footstool. So he said, I'm not dying no more. When I come back, those that don't want to pay me no never mind, I'm just going to take care of business with you. He suffered. Let's come back to that Matthew 24 there, 26 chapter. Now lying. So now he found out, yeah, well, I'll pay the price for this thing. So now, and we don't want, and that's the part we don't want, is to pay the price for none of this good stuff. See, we want everything to be all right. And be all right, always bright sunny skies and all that good stuff. No. You have to do the same thing. If you want to walk the walk he did, you have to do a little something too now. See? You can't just all of a sudden want to, you know, the good part about this thing, but about the suffering part. You want to grab a piece of that too, man. But keep that in your mind when you come to see Yahweh. When the suffering part comes, to, well, I got to deal with the suffering part because Yahweh the Son and the Father was pleased to bruise him by making his soul a living sacrifice to be killed. Yeah? It pleased the Father to bruise him. So he takes the price for you. So we got to be thinking about this thing and stop paying this man no never mind because he paid a price for you by suffering. So that's the part we don't want no part of. Suffering part. Uh-oh. That's the part I don't want to hear about no suffering part. I don't want to hear about the good stuff. Nope. You got to understand something. That he made a final statement. Hey, Mother E. He made a final statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Mother E. Verse 19 and 20 for us to be always minded of things. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, mother, verse 19 and 20, he made a profound statement that we need to read this to make sure this man suffered for us. So, but we pay him no never mind on what he got on table. Let's see what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, that mother.
1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. What knowest ye? What knowest ye not that your body is the temple of the righteous spirit, which is in you, which ye have of Yahweh, and you are not your own? Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, honor Yahweh in your body and in your spirit, which are Yahweh.
You see that? So he said, mother, we've been bought with a price. And what price was that again, mother, in Hebrews 2, verse 9? What price? What price did he pay to tell you you've been bought with a price? In Hebrews 2, 9, mother, we need that one more time to find out the price he paid for you to keep his laws, statutes, and commandments. He paid a price for it, mother. What kind of price did he pay for it? Hebrews 2, verse 9.
Look at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Yahweh, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with honor and honor, that he by the grace of Yahweh should taste death for every man.
Hey, mother, what did he take for every man, mother?
He tasted death for every man.
Death, mother, death. That's right, mother, death. He tasted death, so the price he paid for you was death. So if he paid a price of death for you, you mean you got a problem by keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments? That means these feast days, you know, gathering together on them Sabbath days. He paid a price for you. And that price was death. You see that? So he gonna require this on you. He mean, I paid a price of death for you, and you can't keep me right. Come on back there, young lion. In that book of Matthews again. So we know the price he paid now was death. So now, and what happened in verse 22? 26, 22 of Matthew. What happened in 26, 22, that young man?
The book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Yahweh, is it I? Verse 23.
Yeah.
And he answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the ditch, the same shall betray me. Verse 24. The Son of Man, God, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, you said, you had said.
Hold that point. What did it call Yahweh the Son? Master. See, Yahweh the Son is your master. See, understand, this is your master. So you every now and then you check to see what the master did, and then you can tell if you're on the right track to receive some of his salvation. Because he led by example. So every now and then you should examine yourself and see if you're doing anything that the master once did. That ain't going to do no more. So this man is the master. So he was called master. is to call no man master but me. So Judas called him master. So he was on point. What happened in verse 26?
Verse 26. And as they were eating, Yahweh the Son took bread and blessed it and break it and give it to the followers and said, take, eat, this is my body. Verse 27. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Verse 28. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is said for many, for the remission of sin. Verse 29. But I said to you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day which I drink it, new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, good. So now, after he had made all that good talking, and what happened is in verse 30. Now he's explaining exactly what's going on, and what happened in verse 30.
Verse 30. And when they had saw a hill, they went out unto the Mount of Olives.
So you see that? They were partying. So they were partying. Yeah, well, they done some partying. See that? They done some partying. See, they just didn't sit there and eat and broke out running. No, they done some partying. See? Do this to remember me. On feast day, you're supposed to party. So they're doing, they were singing. They were on Humes. Before they went out, they were partying, hey, Mother Eve. They were partying on this day right here. They were singing and partying. But there was a man's death coming up. But they went out in a bang. See, on them feast days, Mother, we supposed to party some. Sing some songs. And then if any flowers we pass, you know, that's just the case. If somebody want to bring the seer some flowers, you bring the seer some flowers where he can smell them. Don't wait till his old seer, you know, because he can't smell them that much. The breath gone. So, you know, even if you get opportunity to, you know, call the seer low down every now and then, you can call him, you know, low down. You know, but the feast days are for hewn songs, you know, and passing gifts and happy. That was it. Now, this was the death. This is what he wants you to show. He's to show his death. Now, let's read that verse again about show his death, that young lion. Now, then, Mother, you're going to read this verse 30. Keep your hand on verse 30. See, remember, on these feast days, you're going to be showing his death. Till he come. Let's read that verse again in 1 Corinthians 11 now, young lion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's read about this death again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says, you show his death till he come. Let's talk about that again in verse number 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll pick it at verse number 26.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 read, For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do so Yahweh the Son's death till he come.
He's showing his death. So when did he die, young lion? When did he die that we can read? When did he die that we can read? And now, Mother, tell us something, Mother, at the Passover, according to 26 verse 30, you're going to be doing what, Mother? 26 verse 30.
When they had fallen and him, they went out into the Mount of Olives.
You see that, Mother? So you see, now, he is one all the songs sang while he can hear them. He was on all the hymns and the songs. He will take care of all that before he suffer, Mother. See what we do? We do all this after that person is no longer here. The breath is gone from their body. See, we doing it wrong, mother. He see, before he passed, they taking care of all that while he was able to receive. Oh, you know, Yahuwah, sorry, you was a great man, and you was all right. And I remember when you did this and you done that. See, he can respond back to you on the night of the day, the night of his death. So he said they was singing songs and hymns. Then they went out to the to go and take that, you know, that beat down. But see, mother, that's what the feast day is all about. So we got to make sure we're mindful that these feast days is for, you know, you. Well, you know, I want to add out some things concerning you. But then you then at the feast day, gonna air it out. Gonna air it out a little bit, you know. Well, you know, see, I like, you know, sometimes you be pretty low down, Seer. Okay. At the feast day, you know, you remind the Seer every now and then. You might be low down every now and then, Seer. See? But see, he can respond back to you then. See, this is when you're supposed to bring the gifts, ask how's the family doing, do you got any more coming in your generation? Well, do that at the feast days when everybody can respond back to you. This is supposed to be coming all out of town and getting to these feast days. That's the game changer when the people can respond back to you. But we come all out on funerals. That's turning this thing upside down, 29:16. This is when you're supposed to do all the good talking right here. Radio, mother. So we got to watch these things, mother. So let's go to Luke. You got a line? Luke 22. And we'll pick up verse number 1. Luke 22, verse 1.
The book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 1. Reads, now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2.
Well, hold on. I ain't saying about no verse 2. You just want to read. I ain't saying nothing about no verse 2. So, in verse 3 there, young lion, so you got to be mindful of things. Look what happens in verse 3.
Luke chapter 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan to Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being the number of the 12.
See, Satan, get in you. So you got to always be mindful. Satan always standing back to try to get in you. So Satan was laying in the cut. He was waiting to jump in those Judas. See? So and that what happened. What happened in verse number 7?
Luke chapter 22, verse 7. It came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed.
You see that? Okay, now, who is the Passover? That we can read. Who's the Passover that must be killed? See that? Because this shit ain't right there. This guy is the Passover, and he must be killed when? On the Passover. See, we got to understand this thing. So if we kill on the Passover, then what is this? What is this? I gotta make a note. I gotta make a little note of that because people be killed on the Passover. Luke 22 verse 7 says, "When the Passover, he must be killed. That when he falls down the Passover." That's big talk right there. Because, young lion, let's talk about that Passover again. 129 and 36 St. John.
John chapter 1,
verse 29 and 36. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 29 reads, "The next day, Job said, Yahweh the Son, coming unto him, and said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh was taken away the sin of the world." Verse 36. "And looking upon Yahweh the Son, as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh."
So, how was he to take away the sins of the world? Us, mother. Luke 22, verse 7. So when all this supposed to happen, mother, according to Luke 22, verse 7?
Okay. Book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 7. Luke, chapter 22, verse 7. Luke, chapter 22. Verse 7 reads, Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed.
When the Passover must be killed, because he is the Passover lamb. So he must be killed on the Passover. So once a year, every Passover, you do the Passover to remember me. That's what you do to remember me. It ain't got nothing to do, young lion in 12, verse 1. It ain't got nothing to do with this right here. So it ain't got nothing to do with this. When you go to the 12th chapter of Acts, young lion. So the Passover, it ain't got nothing to do with 12, verse 4. The Passover got nothing to do with Acts 12, verse 4.
The book of Acts.
Yep.
Chapter 12, verse 4. Acts chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and deliver him unto four quaternions of soldiers to keep him attended after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
You see that? See that, mother? See what they do, mother? Now, what do Easter got anything to do with what's going on? Nothing. Easter don't have nothing to do with it but a mistranslation of polluted words for Passover. See, they're
quoting,
and mother, he was all out there yesterday. Even those they never had a suit on. He had a suit on yesterday. You see him with a suit on Easter and burial day. You see, that's when you see a person with a suit on. Easter and then a burial day. 2 days, see that, mother? Easter and a barren day, that's when you catch them with their suit and tie on and their brand new Stacey Adams. Easter ain't got nothing to do with the Passover of the Bible. Easter comes all kind of Sundays. Rabbits don't lay no eggs. We just Rabbits do not lay no eggs. What do rabbits and eggs got to do with Yahweh dying for us on Passover? What? Nothing. That ain't nothing but the Virgin, mother. That stuff got to stop. This is why people, they got to stop doing stuff that have no profit to it. It's no profit to doing Easter. It's nothing in Easter. End time word, one time in the Bible, it's saying the devil. Easter, one time in the Bible. Who put that word in the Bible? Satan. Satan got in the mouth of somebody and put it and made his hand write Easter up to the Passover. He's Passover lamb. teach. Somebody got to correct these things. He's the Passover lamb. So now let's go back. We got that out the way, y'all. Let's go back to that. What was in Luke 22? So, Easter has nothing to do with what we read. Easter is number a trap word from Satan the devil. Passover. And the Passover, you got to know about chemo-day for the Passover. Got nothing to do with no Easter. That's not right. And our people's what? Young lion. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 5:31, he talks about these things, that young lion. He told the spirit, hey, see, put this in writing about my people. What did he say about them in 5:31 of Jeremiah?
The book of Jeremiah is here, chapter 5, verse 31. Read. The shepherds, bishops, pastors, deacons, prophesied falsely, and the priests built rules to buy their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof?
He said, what would you do, gonna do? You love to have it so. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see them out there all on corners selling rabbits and eggs. Tables everywhere. What y'all selling out here? Rabbits and eggs. What do rabbit and egg got to do with Yahuwah the Son's Passover? Nothing. Every corner they serve, they got rabbits and eggs. We become a cash cow to the world. I mean, people can't even speak English. What you selling over there? Rabbits and eggs. And we love to have a soap. But what you going to do at the end when you find out all that right there was for nothing? Rabbits and eggs. And dressing people up and three-piece suit, and they never wore a suit in their life. Funerals and Easter, you dress them up real good for funerals and Easter. Yeah. We got a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do. So now, come on back, young lion. Come on back to that Luke. We got a little bit out of that. We got enough to work with. What verse said Satan into him? And who was pushing this thing in verse 4? 22:4 Luke.
Book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 4. And he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captain, how he might betray him unto death.
You see that? And Judas Iscariot, he went this way to the chief priests. There was many priests, but you got a chief priest. A chief priest means one. The chief priest, one. One was the chief priest. Let's find what that chief priest's name is, young lion. Go to St. John chapter 11. See, remember, they understood then it was one chief priest. So that chief priest was the head man. The head man. Now, the chief priest. Let's see what it said that we can read about this chief priest. In St. John chapter 11, that young lion, I want to find out about the chief priest. St. John chapter 11. I want to find out a little bit more about this chief priest. What about the chief priest? And look at verse number 46 and 47. St. John 11, 46, 47.
The book of John, chapter 11, verse 46 and 47. John chapter 11, verse 46. But some of them went their way to Pharisees and told them what things Yahweh the Son had done. 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles.
Read.
48. If we let him, thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.
All
men. Verse 49.
All men.
All men.
Yeah, men. All men.
All men.
Mm-hmm.
We'll believe on him.
Yeah, what about 49?
49. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said to them, you know nothing at all.
So you see, you always got the chief man, the high priest. See, the high priest means one. You got a seer in your midst that means one. One high priest had many priests, but one high priest. So that was a seer, one. So we have a problem not understanding that one, anyone but one. He was the high priest that year. High priest, that's called, in this case, he was the seer of that hour. He was the high priest. See, the high priest means one. Yahweh deals with one at a time. He don't deal with many. One. Then the one have to get it to the order of things from that point. He told him, y'all don't know nothing. He told him that, the chief priest. Well, his name was Caiaphas. That was his name. He was the head man that time. It's always a head man in every walk of, in every walk. It's the head man. You get a precept on that, Mother E. Let's go to Ezekiel 33. Let's get a precept on that, Mother. Now, let's set it up. 33, verse number 30 to 33. The angel is coming to Ezekiel, the seer. The angel's coming. So the angel's doing a talking to Ezekiel, the seer. The seer ain't doing nothing but listening and writing down. Watch what this angel say to Ezekiel, the seer. In the 33rd chapter, Mother, verse 30 down to verse 33. Let's hear some of this conversation, Mother. Come on.
Okay. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 30 to 36. Ezekiel chapter 30. Also the son of man, the children of thy people, still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses and speaking one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from thee, Yahweh. 31. And they come unto thee as the people come, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy word, but they will not do them, for with their mouth they show much love, but their mind goes after their covenant. And lo, they are unto them as a very loving song, a one that has an 11-4 and can play well on an instrument. But they hear the word, but they do them not. 33. And when this comes to pass, then it will come. Then shall they know that a fear has been among them.
Now, that wasn't Ezekiel talking, Mother. That was the angel letting Ezekiel know that he is a seer. A mean one. Ezekiel wasn't saying a word, Mother. He just been there listening. But sooner or later, they're going to recognize that a seer is in the midst of them. Ezekiel was just quiet. He wasn't saying one word, Mother. That's the angel talking to Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was the man of the hour. He was the a seer. And that's how Yahweh operated with. A seer according to the angel. Is that word there, Mother, do we see that word called in 33, a seer, or a and one is interchangeable? Do we see the word called a seer, or do we see many seers in that verse 33? What do we see in verse 33? How many seers we see right here in verse 33, Mother?
A seer.
Do A and 1 mean the same thing, Mother, A and 1?
Right.
A and hallelujah. Thank you, Mother. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right. Hallelujah. So that's what it means. A seer. One seer. The angel letting you know is one seer at a time. Like one chief priest. You have many priests, but you have one chief priest. You have many seers, but you have one at a time. The angel telling me, no, they're going to figure it out sooner or later that a seer have been among them. Now, them is the many. They go your many word, them. A seer has been among them. See, that's how Yahweh operates. See, if we start doing this Bible and make sure we make correction on this Bible, we're going to be all right. Because that's how Yahweh operates. He sent up angels down to a seer, whoever seer is of that time, then his job is to get you all the rest of the elders. But they're going to get to one seer until they shut him down. Until they shut him down, that's how the thing going to go. So when we read a precept on that, Mother, when we read the precept on that, so once we get this thing right, Yahweh got no choice but to intervene. One thing, he's not going to break his word. He's not going to break his word. Now, look what it says in 1 Samuel 3:21, Mother. Let's see about something in 1 Samuel 3:21.
First Samuel.
Yeah. 321.
The book of First Samuel.
Have me 9, 18, 19, and 27 waiting on me. Look what it says, Mother, in 1 Samuel 3, verse 21. Look what this Bible say.
First Samuel, chapter 3, verse 21.
Well, hey, Mother, make it sound good in verse 20. Let's see if we make it sound good in verse 20. All we're going to do is make it sound good in verse 20. Let's see what's going on and verse 20.
First Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a seer of the Yahweh.
Hold that, Mother. Now listen. Let old seer get a shot at this. Verse 20. And all Israel, that's the Israelites, all 12 tribes, mm-hmm. from Dan even to Beersheba, knew, that word knew, all of them, Mother, they knew that Samuel was ecstatic to be a seer of Yahweh. Is that what we read, Mother?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that what we read?
Hallelujah.
And what is it in verse 21?
Verse 21. And the Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh.
Yeah.
And the Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh, for the Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Yahweh.
Hey, Mother, you just dropped the bombshell down, Mother. What did Yahweh do? Now, Israel was around, but Yahweh, he revealed himself to who, Mother?
Samuel.
You see that?
He revealed himself to Samuel.
He revealed himself to Samuel. And Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh. For Yahweh revealed himself. Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh. By what? The word of Yahweh. So you see, we got to get this thing down right. See, we got to understand one thing. If we start making calls pertaining to the Bible, Yahweh got no choice but to intervene. This is how he operates. All Israel was around. Look what it says in verse 20. And all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was ecstatic to be one seer of Yahweh. A and one mean the same thing. One. 21. And Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh. For Yahweh revealed himself. Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel. As Shiloh by the okay, well, how do he reveal himself? Hold that point, young line. So how do he reveal himself to anybody else then? Now, we know how he revealed himself to the seer, Samuel. So, how do he reveal himself to anybody else that we can read? Now, what can we go and read where Yahweh, how do he reveal himself to anybody else? Let's see how he do it. Let's go to third chapter, y'all. Now, we're going to see how do Yahweh reveal himself to anybody else. Well, this man, woman, we know how he reveals himself to Samuel. Wide eyed and bushy tail. But now we want to find out, well, how do he reveal himself to the mortal man and the mortal woman? We want to read it. Job 33, young line. Let's see how Yahweh revealed himself to anybody other than the seer. Anybody in Israelite descent. How do we reveal himself that we can read? We're going 33 there, young line. And we're going to pick it up at verse 12. And we're going to find out down to verse 16. We're going to learn something because we got to understand this thing. Because, listen, 600 times, you got to understand something. When you stand up and started talking, six anointed camps, and said what Yahweh gonna do for you and show you and what Yahweh gonna do. Listen, you got to understand how he operates according to his Bible. Because remember one thing, the bright light will be on Yahweh's six anointed camps or voices over to his life. You got to know how Yahweh operates. Do you want to find out, do he meet you on one afternoon while you drinking tea? We're going to find out exactly what Yahweh do for those that are not the seer. That's what we're going to find out right now. 33, verse 12 down to verse 16. This is real good. Now, we got to have this understanding because we be going to Yahweh, and Yahweh say, hey, that's not the order of things. If I got something to say to you, I'm going to tell you exactly how I operate in 33rd chapter, verse 12 through 16. Bring it out to you online. Take your time and bring it out.
The book of Joel, the seer, chapter 33, verse 12 to 16. Joel, the seer, chapter 33, verse 12, read. Behold, in this you are not just. I will answer you that Yahweh is greater than me. Verse 13. Why do you strive against him? But he giveth not account of any of his matters. Verse 14, for Yahweh speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. Verse 15, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men, and slumbereth upon the bed. Verse 16, then he opened the ear of the men, and still their instruction.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? So when Yahweh got to talk to anybody other than the seer, how do you operate? According to the Bible. Who want to take a shot at that? Who want to take a shot at this? Mother, you want to take a shot at it? Want the young lion to take a shot at this? If Yahweh got something to say to anybody that is not the seer, you can take a shot at it, mother, or the young lion take a shot at it. We'll give you the first shot. You can pass it on to the young lion, or you can take a shot at it, mother. Come on.
Pass it on.
Are you going to pass it on? Come on, young lion. Break that down for the mass and order what's going on between 14 and 16.
All right. So we know Yahweh revealed. He speaks to his seer. We know Yahweh speaks to a seer. So we know in 14 to 16. This in a dream or a vision of the night.
When what happened? When what happened? Verse 15. A dream or vision of the night, according to 15. And what do you say in verse 15? When what?
Okay, in a dream or in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man and slumbereth upon the bed.
That's when he makes his move. And then what he do? After deep sleep that fell on you, you slumming around, you tear that pillow up. Tear that pillow up. Then what do Yahweh do once your head hit that pillow? What do Yahweh do in verse 16?
Then he opened the ears of men and sealed their instructions.
So that's how he operates. So now you know how he operates. So now you know how you, and you got to watch 6 months of camps. You got to make sure you understand to be able to edify those in the 6 months of camps. Exactly how Yahweh operates, you know, make sure that nobody get caught up in Christianity, Islam, Judaism. No, if Yahweh got something to say to you,
or me, they say. He'll wait until you get what in verse 15? When you wait to what in 15?
Verse 15, John 33, verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man and slumbereth upon the babe.
You see that? That's when he operates. Is we reading Bible?
Hallelujah, Claude.
Now I'm gonna show you something how important this guy that made this statement is. Now I'm sure this ain't no just no pick of the little that made this statement. Let me show you what Yahweh said about this guy right here. See, now you gotta understand something. When he made that statement, he didn't make it because he was a chump. Let me show you let's go to the 42nd chapter. Let's talk about this man. See, when he made that statement, 42 verse 7 and 8, let's talk about it, young lion. But it's read all the way down to verse 9. Listen to this real carefully. We're in Job chapter 42, 7 down to verse 9. Listen real carefully is what we get ready to read. Young lion, bring it out.
Book of Job the Seer, chapter 42, verse 7 down to verse 9. Job the Seer, chapter 42, verse 7. And it was so that after Yahweh had spoken these words unto Job, the seer, Yahweh said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against you and against your true friend. We have not spoken of me the thing which is right as my servant Job the seer had. Verse 8. Therefore take unto you now seven bullocks, seven rams, go to my servant Job the seer, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job the seer shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job the seer. Verse 9. And Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shushanite, and Zophar the Nabonite, the Nabathite, went and did according as Yahweh commanded them. Yahweh also accepted Job.
You hear that? So when it comes in going on, Yahweh had high respect for this man called Brother Joe. He let him know now, since y'all overtalked yourself, y'all ran the fat mouth on Joe, it's not all way y'all can get up out of this thing now, what you got to do. It's not once you are pleased you some Joe, and after Joe had prayed for you, then I will accept you. Is that what we read in verse number 8, young man?
Hallelujah.
Look here. That means, when you fat mouth against the seer, Yahweh don't like it. He don't like it at all. So he give you opportunity to get out. So if you found yourself fat mouthing against the seer, say anything, Yahweh don't like it. And Yahweh gave the three men that came to comfort Job opportunity to get out from under that that sin. What they had to do in verse 8, young lion, so Yahweh said to them, you not speaking right against my servant Job have. He said, you're not right. You're not speaking right. That he said, you're not talking right. Therefore,
Yahweh.
So since you're not talking right, what he said, now reading verse 8, therefore what?
Job chapter 42, verse 8. Therefore take unto you now seven bullocks and seven rams, and go to my servant Job the seer, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. and my servant Job the seer shall pray for you.
Go ahead.
For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job the seer.
Ain't that something? I gotta isolate some of that. And my servant Job shall pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
For him will I, Yahweh, accept. Is that what we read?
Hello, Yahweh.
Him will I, Yahweh, accept. Now, if you don't do it, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. So who was the man of the hour in that day? At that time was Job. That was it. Everything in Job's lifetime, everything was ran through Job. Everything was ran. The bad part was ran through Job, and the good part was ran through Job. By Job holding on, he was holding on big time. See, when you hold on with this understanding, when you get hit in the mouth and stop kicking, you keep on trying to kick. Because this is what happened behind Job. Yahweh told the men that God dog, Job, we're going to talk back to you. So what happened when it's all said and done with Job in verse 12 down to verse 17? Now listen to this. Listen to this good story that happened to Issachar's boy, the Mexican. 12 down to verse 17. Bring it out there, young lion.
Look at Job to see it. Chapter 42, verse 12 down to verse 17. Job, chapter 42, verse 12. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job the seer more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. Verse 13, he also seven sons and three daughters. Verse 14, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Kesiah, and the name of the third Karen Hapas. Verse 15, and in all the land were no woman found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brothers. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his son's sons, even four generations. Verse 17, so Job the seer died, being old and full of days.
So Job died being old and full of days. He said in verse 16, and after this, Job lived 140 years. That means wherever Job was at that time, when Yahweh blessed him, he blessed him to live another 140 years. So wherever how old Job was, this is called after this. After this, after he blessed him, he didn't bless him for 10 minutes. No, he blessed Job to live another 140 years. So you see how great our mighty ones is when you do right? By Job getting all the licks and kept on kicking. Because he made a profound statement, mother, this is what Job did when everything was hot and heavy, mother. He said something, mother.
See, just what got Job the blessing. He made a profound statement, that mother. And we're going to read what Job said. See, this is what we got to do. We got to understand how to get in his book and don't get caught up in our feelings. Job made a profound statement, mother. We're going to find out what he said. Because he said something real big. And what he said, we can read in verse 21 and 22. Job chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Just how Job made a statement, mother Eve. And it was a final statement. And Yahweh took note of this thing and tried Job. What did Job say that we can read in Job 1, 21 and 22? What did he say that, Mother E?
The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. The book of Job, chapter 1, verse 21. And said, naked come I out of my mother's womb. And naked shall I return thither. The Yahweh giveth, and the Yahweh has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Yahweh. 22. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged Yahweh
foolishly. See, mother. Everybody back up against them will be against the wall sooner or later, mother. Sooner or later. But you never let your feelings get in the way and charge Yahweh foolishly. Don't make no statements that the Bible don't can back it, not can't back it up. Job said, naked came out of my mother's womb. Mm-hmm. And naked shall I return to. Yahweh gave it. And Yahweh take it away. And what he do? Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of them four-letter man. See, when you get here in the mouth, when something's not working right properly, take that, endure that. Take that whooping. Don't all of a sudden got to have a comeback every time a statement on the table. Hold your comebacks up. 22. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged Yahweh foolishly. See, that's what we do. We mess around and think somebody else hand in it. No, that's Yahweh hand in his thing. He trying you. See what you have the spirit of Job in you. Huh? And that's why Job was blessed to live another 140-some years up under a blessing. He seen all them generations come behind that. Why? Because when it got hot and heavy, Job ran to the hot and heavy, not away from the hot and heavy. See, you got to run to the hot and heavy. You got to get on in there. Yahweh makes the angels make a mark about that. When it got hot and heavy, they ran to that hot and heavy. They didn't start talking smack. They stayed in that Bible. And that was Yahweh trying to take. He stay in his Bible. I don't care how hot and heavy it gets. Make sure the statement you make, the Bible can back it up, and Yahweh can remember that when you might need it one day. And the angel can remind it when we tried that person, they threw a tall, they stayed in the scripture. They didn't get frustrated. Oh, so when it's got hot and heavy on them, they threw in the scripture? Yes. But then give him a blessing then. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Fixing on account. Listen. Yahweh gonna put his hand on the fixing on accounts. He gonna do his part. All we gotta do is our part. And how we do our part? Make sure the statement that you make, the Bible supports it with the precept. If you just throw a verse out there and you ain't got no precept with it, let it alone. Because every verse that you pull up, it must have a precept to back it up. If we understand this thing, Yahweh, he got no trouble to intervene. And on that note, I'm bringing our elder in.
Elders of Tears of Israel came on stage, so I guess he want to talk to his, I know he want to talk to the national audience about something. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder Mr. Tears of Israel, Yahweh be there for you.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, receive royal. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh, the elder. Well, one thing we do know, the fox can't help it lit. And we found out that Brother Joe, this Brother Joe was all right. And when he backed against the wall, he stood in there. He made no blanket statements that he couldn't back up through the scriptures. And then Yahweh blessed him and gave him another 100-something years to live to see all them grandbabies. And that's what John tell you. If we do Yahweh, take the licking and keep on ticking. And guess what will happen? Yahweh gonna bless you, and your latter is greater than your beginning. You just got the understanding of the book of Job. So now, Elder, what you gonna bring to the table for this national audience? And we're gonna run back and give some herbal tea, and we're gonna pass the mic to you over 900,000 strong on the international side. Take your time and do your part.
Once again, Yahweh bless you, see Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast among a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners. And that's a good thing, because all those listeners out there that want to hear the word of Yahweh, we know we're helping some people, and that's good. Not help 100%. If we can help one out of that many that's listening, we know we have done a good job. Now, I'm going to probably bring to the table something we spoke about before. I think there was a wise man that was speaking about burials. And he threw that information in. Well, I know burials went back years ago. Most of us are very familiar with that, those of us that have done history. But still, you got those out there that deny things without fact-checking. Just what the book of Job. So you got to check your facts. Now, mummification was a process that was used by the Egyptians. Now, many people may listen to that, but what was it used for? Mummification was a process that the Egyptians used to prepare the body for the afterlife. They figured that the body needed a physical place, so they preserved the body with seven stages of preservatives and wrapped it, as was described the earlier portion of our broadcast. So a few days ago, our bodies were wrapped. And that was their process of burial after they put them in the ground. Now, it reminded me of a Hebrew word that I could not think of, which I did mention. That Hebrew word that is used for the box that people were put in for the burial years ago, it was called Aron. The spelling A-R-O-N. It's a Hebrew word which is used to refer to the cabinet where a Torah is stored, also meaning casket or coffin. You see, this word has been bounced around a few different times through the years. And the custom of using coffins is probably about, like they said in this announcement, from the Egyptians. It is recorded of Joseph that he was put into a coffin. If you read the Bible, he was put into a coffin in Egypt. In the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verse 26. So instead of denying, better start taking notes. So when you deny something, you got a fact. Both the Ark of the Covenant and the coffin were called Aron in Hebrew. That's A-R-O-N. You can check the elder, as I did check myself. Because we find out, we do things from customary tradition. And tradition is hard to break. Because in that tradition, you are criticized, you are emphasized as being not like us, and you're made an outcast if you don't follow tradition. Now, this article comes from Coffin to Casting. It is American history that many have forgotten or did not research. a depiction of the early pilgrims reaching the northeast coast of America in the early 17th centuries. Now, what is the difference between a coffin and a casket? It's a question that most never entertained before the New Brothers Coffin Works. That's New Brothers Coffin Works. That's a question we pose to our visitors or listeners that they use to give guided tours. Although the answer seems to be very obvious, 9 times out of 10, when anyone is asked, they're met with a vacant or pondering look. And this is the look of confusion. The answer is that to do with the shape of the coffin, because the terms coffin or casket are used interchangeably. You are to be forgiven for never considering the difference, but here's the main one. A coffin has 6 sides. It's a hexagonal casket, has 4 sides, and is rectangular. Most of the time anyway, it's not like a shape or shape-shape that make the subject for this particular matter we're talking about so fascinating. They even have pictures that to emphasize that what I'm saying if you desire to look it up. A casket traditionally, as I said, has 4 sides, as well as making handles for the coffin, which you see in pictures. The Newman brothers also made casket handles, and casket for handles can be looked up on images on the internet. That's if you care to take a look. There's a market for all styles of caskets in different countries in the UK, at least since the 1950s. However, early American favorites, the casket as a coffin, died out in the States years ago. But its evolution for the casket was a direct descendant of the coffin that makes it an interesting study. This evolution is a deep-rooted in socioeconomics and movements to understand those changes. We need to visit the 19th century America. And this is the new thinking part that, you know, we've indoctrinated today. Looking at until 1776, when the 13 British colonies located along the Atlantic seaboard declared their independence and formed the United States of America in 1700. A change to the English law allowed the people to be buried in a coffin. Previous to this, coffins were, for the most part, reserved for the wealthiest in society, and the poorest were commonly buried in a shroud or winding sheet and placed straight into the ground. The only type of coffin they would have encountered at this time was the parish coffin, a vessel used to transport the deceased from the church to the graveside in an assumed dignity. I spoke on this a few days ago, how they used to transport the bodies after they put them in their coffin and drove them to the graveyard. Now, the British American colonies were no different. And with this new law in 1704, the use of coffins in the colonial Maryland, for example, was at an all-time high, probably around 90%. English mourning rituals had taken root in the colonial America, and the coffin was a key part of that ritual. Now, most of what I'm talking about, you can find on the internet by looking at transition of how it went from casket to coffin, and people spend hundreds of dollars on that. Hexagon coffins have largely been used in North America. Colonies in great numbers from the 1700s to at least the middle of the 19th century. So what prompted this adoption? Well, there are a few theories, because a lot is forgotten through time. Although these rectangular coffins were gained in popularity before American Civil War of 1861 to 1865, it was that war that firmly translated the design in America. Coffins were traditionally very plain and almost exclusively made from wood, like in Britain. In some of the movies that you watch, in the old cowboy, you used to see that the mortician used to make the boxes, and when they finished, they would hammer the top shut. The coffin furniture in America, although, was it was made to appease the looking audience. And this was the scale that it was designed for. Americans during the spirit decided that they wanted to see their loved one go off pleasantly, almost like the Egyptians did, but they did it in a different way, preserving the body for the afterlife so there would be a body spiritually to inherit the afterlife. Well, that's something to think about. But everybody has their traditions, and most of the time, as I said in the beginning of my conversation, you find that a lot of people follow traditions. And when you're not following the traditions, you're seriously criticized for being indifferent. You're not customary to this tradition. You're doing something different. Well, this is one of the reasons why when we get you on the broadcast, we go deeply into letting you know that one thing you can't do, a teacher can't learn from his students. Because you also hear students complaining, trying to come up with another way. But remember, the teacher's always given wise counsel. And having knowledge, the teacher even gains more experience by teaching. But now, on the other hand, they usually say if a student pays attention to wise counsel, he can possibly learn to teach one day themselves and teach correctly. This shows well in all the six camps that teach. Because we all came to hear things in the Bible that most of us can hear, and some listening never understand. These are the complainers, the mourners, the backbiters, wanting to take everything another way. But listen up. God's ministry makes all this misunderstanding very possible. We came to see things in the Bible through proper teaching. You'll find that some looking and never find it. But these are the misinformed, the ones through all the complaining, as I said, the backbiting, foul noises. They can do many of these things. This is why the word said it's Yahuwah that is taught. It makes all this and more possible for the righteous. But you hear me say that word often, righteous. If you're not right, Yahuwah, I'm not going to give it to you. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. We're given the knowledge to know we have those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching. And usually the overly loud pump the gums contest with righteous living. And even trying to take the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that already know. Can you believe that? These are the ones that have to remember. The best is already here. We're just waiting for the rest to come so we can teach them the way to go. So they can go down that narrow road and not deviate left or right into either deep water or the fire. I know I want to follow that narrow path because we have to remember that the non-righteous job is to lead you astray. And their job, they do it pretty good. These are usually people with a lost and confused understanding. So this is why we're here to help you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud off the gulps contest, for righteous learning and wrong-taught Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahuwah's Legacy. To come see you live and open to you all, please, with new and exciting topics in the King James Bible. And first and foremost, about Yahuwah's work. Learning how to connect the books to your biblical education. Your health. Moses, you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. And this is in the information that you have righteously came to seek and have now found that in the voices of the truest light, the Bible of God. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. on the normal days of Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. However, Sabbath class we do have that we often talk about. Friday is the top part of Sabbath. That's class starts at 7:30 to 10:30. On the bottom part of the Sabbath or Saturday, there's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. So the temple members are desired to leave. Now, we also have a website class. You use this on any one of your smart devices. Then the next search line in the tribegodpod.com. And it's important to look on tribegodpod.com-israel. For doing this, we'll take you to a big line. You'll see some choices. One of the choices will be tithes and offerings. Step number one that donates to PayPal. Step number two, click send. Then enter the amount with the description as the message provided for you, if you like. And if this is done, may Yahweh bless you. Also, do we miss remember what it tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you commit to the people. Give unto the Yahweh, glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh, the glory go unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, Yahweh's here reminding, everyone, that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated. That you give according to the Bible scriptures that are mentioned in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse number 30, and once again mentioned in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing the industrious young wild life. Also for building a school, which is very well needed. For the people that do all the complaining that don't know, they can learn it firsthand. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to do that. So the help is continued to speak up on this program. Hallelujah. Also while we're there, note that we have a calendar to help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. Also, we have a live program, which is a feature that's available during our broadcast time. Now, to get there, this time on the search line, you want to type Yahweh Radio Live. And that's what you need to remember, Yahweh Radio Live. Doing this by your cell phone, computer, will take you to Voices of the Truth, like subscribing to Yahweh. Click the red live button, or play button as soon as it appears, and it puts you right into our live online broadcast. Also, we have a few numbers you can call if you got one line. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number, where you can call and leave a message on those Bible scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by anyone with 600-300-5579. But also, now in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. I remind you, you only have to discourage you, click followed by a dollar. Also, you can inquire about the 12 programs via the 12 tribes of Israel on TV. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive the phone. On another note, we might ask, please do not contact us here with email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. This is pretty busy with the WCC. Be on station stockholder next to Cigarette Man, announcing in the polls, and even now, in addition to that, post-Saturday Sundays. So please use the international line 224-600-5579. The first person who attends will receive a call back, unless you go out trying to teach. That's it. You will only hear it encouraging about it. Now, for those of you who have missed the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show after 9:15 p.m., except Friday. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. And to do this, on your switch line, in the Yahweh Radio Live, use the program that you will make walking into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. And another note, we're also doing the normal broadcast, your assignment is in transmitting our information from TalkTalk, which can be logged in by your phone, tablet, or computer. Just make sure you download the TalkTalk app. We will be listed under ethnic or African American. Indicate there is the voices of the Israelites, wherever we are from. Our group will hold 50 or more listening participants for Yahweh's word will be written in Bible education. Online heritage answers one of the table topics we discuss. During the broadcast will be held in the Israel, along with Cedar Israel, writing the show. However, during this time, we'll be taking no comments off topic or any more to that question held to get a time. And the broadcast ends before teacher talk. Meeting will continue by teaching and self talk. But that continuing note that I usually give as a reminder, when we give instructions to speak by the seer, be quick to hear. To speak. to the word to Yahweh is remembering that we have hundreds and thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahweh. So as was said earlier, we have to be careful about not making worldly statements that can't be backed up by the Bible. But sure, when you make those statements, make sure they can be backed up and in the Bible. So we can start to do this to talk. I'm going to pass that focus over to our seer Israel, where our teaching can begin.
Hallelujah. That was excellent. You brought a lot of good points. You know, I'm a great note taker. You know, I love taking notes. And I did take a whole lot of notes, but like I said again, as we clear that coffin, it's the origin is according to the elders' great research is coming up out of Egypt. But he made a profound statement there, Elder, in Numbers 15, 15, 16, and 29. But he told us something about Egypt, Esau and his five sons, and the Arabs. He told us something, Elder, that we're supposed to always take up on the mind. So, Elder, what did it say in Numbers 15, 15, and 16, Elder, and 29? Let's see what Yahweh told Moses to tell Aaron, and Aaron to tell the other elders to get to the children of Israel about something in Numbers 15, verse 15 and 16 and 29. What did he say to Elder?
This is taking notes as you were talking. In the book of Numbers, looking at chapter 15, reading verses 15, 16, and 29. Verse number 15 says, one ordinance shall be both for you of the congregation and also for the stranger that sojourneth with you. An ordinance forever in your generations. As ye are, so shall the stranger be before the Yahweh. 16. One law and one manner shall be for you and for the stranger that sojourneth with you. 29. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth for ignorance, both for him that is born among the family of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among you.
Mm-hmm. So, now let's get a precept on that, Elder. Well, we let the young lion get a precept on that. Let's get a precept. A young lion, Brother Titus, let's get a precept on that. In 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 23, 24, and 27. Young lion, 2 Ezra, chapter 2, verse 23. 24 and 27, we're going to get a precept on that and see what we're working with.
Book of 2nd Ezra the seer, chapter 2, verse 23 to 24 and 27. 2nd Ezra, chapter 2, verse 23 reads, wheresoever you find it, the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give you the first place and my resurrection. Verse 24. Abide still, O my people, Israel. Take your rest, for your quietness shall come. Verse 27. Be not weary, but when the day of trouble in heaven is coming, others shall weep and be sorrowful, but you should be merry and have abundance.
Mm-hmm. If we do what according to 223, what is it saying, 223, that young lion?
2nd Ezra chapter 2, verse 23. Wheresoever you find it, the dead, take them and bury them, and I will give you the first place in my resurrection.
So you see, so when we find the dead, we probably go and bury them. That we're going to do. We find a dead of a descendant of Israelites, Israel, and Israel, we're going to bury. And Tobit chapter 1, let's see what Tobit did in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. because you got a lot of them, they about to go and cremate people. Cremate, I want to be cremated. Where you get that from? Well, are you his righteous man? What you going to be cremated for? Where you get that from? One way, the way Yahuwah tell you to do it, just follow Yahuwah's book. That's it. You know, I want to be cremated. Put me off into a little cup, a little bottle, and sit me on top of your dress if I can watch you, and just in case you want to do wrong. See that? I can watch you and put that evil Jesus spirit that you think that urn that sit on top of the dresser with them ashes inside that bottle, and them bottles is watching you, and you walk around on pins and needles. Oh, wow. Tobit, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. What's that, young lion?
The book of Tobit, chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 19. Tobit, chapter 1, verse 18. And if the king Sennacherib had slain any when he was caught and fled from Judah, I buried him privately. For this, in his wrath, he killed many. But the bodies were not found when they were sought for of the king. Verse 19. And when one of Nevites went and complained of me to the king, that I buried them and hid myself, understand that I was sought for to be put to death. I withdrew myself for fear.
You see that? But again, Tobit, he went, when he found the bodies, he went buried the bodies. That's what he did. He went buried the bodies. See, Tobit, I'm sure Yahuwah is greater. And maybe Wednesday I'm going to pull out a verse where Yahuwah pulled the verse. He pulled Judah out of the ground and laid him out before the sun. And that's the reason right now we start looking for the bodies of the Israelites, especially Judah. They were taken out of the graves. They were taken out of the ground. They were taken out of the ground and laid out before the sun. You know, I can't put my finger on that verse right now, but I will by Wednesday we come back on the broadcast. Because Judah was taken out of the graves, that, and they were taken out and laid on top of the people's came and removed Judah. And that's why it's hard to find, because when they found out the color of Judah, they took them out of that grave and put other people up in there. So they get you at where you can't figure out who's who. See, Judah was taken out. A lot of Judah was taken out of the grave. And it's always prophesied that. It's in the book of Jeremiah. It's in the book of Jeremiah where Judah was taken out and laid before the sun. See? I pull out wind tonight. So now, and that's what they use deception today. And you don't know who Judah is today, because a lot of graves that got Judah's name, Judah's spot they was in, their bodies were taken out of the grave, out of the ground, and laid out before the sun. So they're taking them out. And I know it put somebody else in there, so now you kind of confused. But see, it was already prophesied to Jeremiah that they was going to take the bodies of Judah out of the ground and lay it out before the sun. See, this book is already called. And then another thing, you can go, we got the memo in, you can go on the internet and look up the President Putin. What's his first name? Who knows his first name? What's his name again, the president over there in Russia? What's his name?
Putin.
First name?
Putin.
What's his name?
Putin.
Well, okay, well, the president of Russia. The president of Putin is the president of Russia. Now, back in the days, Russia, before really had that name, in about the early 10th century, 11th, 12th, up to the 1500s, before the Ottoman Turks jumped them and took over Constantinople, before they used to trade back and forth with Constantinople on the religious matter. And they had the pictures of the children of Israel in, and now you can get them in the icons book today in Russia. But they, Putin, it's on the internet, you can go in there and pull up. Putin, they found a vault that had been hid away since the 1400s. And in that vault was the picture, all type of paintings of the children of Israel. They had Mary painting, Yahuwah the Son's painting, all the disciples, the angels, they got painting because they traded back and forth and they accept the religion of Constantinople from the 10th century to the 1500s. But the Ottoman Turks came in and knocked off Constantinople, and they knocked off, and so the Russians hid the pictures because they were trying to set a division. So they hid the pictures in the 14 and the 1500s. And so happened, the pictures have been revealed. And Putin, the president, got wind of it and said on national television and radio, which the United States would not touch on, he said everybody in Russia will accept the truth. And they will, from this point on, worship the black Jesus, the black Mary, the black Paul, the black Peter. We got the proof. He tell them, bring it all, bring the pictures out. And the biggest cathedrals we got here, place them pictures right there. He said that stereotyping of whooping black folks and calling them this and that. And we found out the truth that everybody in the Bible was black folks. You go on your computer right now and put up what? Putin's speech about the finding of the archives of the true Israelites. And he got it now, saying, from now on in Russia, we're going to serve black Jesus. But he was speaking in his language, but it was interpreted in English to the Russians, and the interpreters spoke back what he was saying, we gonna serve black Jesus in Russia. So those that understand this thing, you go and put up that article and that video and do some research on what Putin says about what they're finding, and he opened up the box and said, look here, Jesus is a black man. All of everybody's black, and we ain't hiding no more. He said, I'm going to take the lead and step out in, and we're going to worship some black Jesus. That was Putin said, the president of Russia said. Now, that speech going to be dealt with by our elder, and that speech going to be dealt with by them young lions, and they're going to bring up Putin's speech about the archives that they found. The pictures they found of black folks, and all of them was Israelites, even Jesus, Mary, and the baby. And they told, he said, every church that's in Russia going to have to obey and put the pictures in on the true color of the black Jesus, and they're going to have to worship the black Jesus. That's what Putin said. They don't worship black in Russia. So you know the United States, they won't hear none of that. You know the Roman Catholic Church, they won't hear none of that. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, one thing about the truth, sooner or later it's going to surface. A lie cannot stand forever. That's why it's so important for us to understand what we've been talking about for years and years. Yahweh got his time to bring it to the... So he put in the spirit like he put in Sidus, and his name is to Cyrus, to let the children of Israel go back to home and build a... He put in the mind of them. He put in the mind of Putin to come out on national television and tell them everybody in Russia going to worship black Jesus and black Mary and the baby Jesus. If you're going to worship, worship right and take them white statues down. That's what Putin got on the internet right now. Y'all got it? Do the research, and that's the way it is. So now, I leave that like that. Spirit got on me to tell you that behind the conversation. So now let's get one more in the book of Tobit there, young line. 2, verse 7-9, and Mother Eve had me Isaiah 26:19-21. So pull up that research on what Putin says. It's all on the internet, I heard. It's all on the internet. But so happens the 10 o'clock news ain't going to cover it in the United States. But in Russia, they covenanted and said, we going to worship black Jesus in Russia. Everybody up under my rule going to worship black Jesus. Now, you know that. That's big talk with them. So now let's see who come up with the research and out of 2 or 3 witnesses, as the word be established. What's that young lion in the book of Tobit, chapter 2, verse 7, down to verse 9?
The book of Tobit, chapter 2, verse 7 down to verse 9. Tobit, chapter 2, verse 7 reads, therefore I wept, and after the going down of the sun, I went and made a grave and buried him. Verse 8, but my neighbors mocked me and said, this man is not yet afraid to be put to death for his matter, who fled away, and yet, lo, he buried the dead again. Verse 9.
Yeah.
The same. Yeah. Verse 9. The same night also I returned from my burial and slept by the wall of my courtyard, being polluted, and my face was uncovered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when the bird dropped some stuff into. But when did Tobit do the burial again in verse 7? What time did Tobit start taking the bodies and putting them in the grave into the hole? What time in verse number 2, verse 7? What time was it going on again, 2, verse 7?
The book of Tobit, chapter 2, verse 7. Wherefore I wept, and after the going down of the sun.
Ain't that something? Ain't that something? You see that? So you see when Joseph of Arimathea begged for the body, it was the same thing. After the going down of the sun. See, we don't do nothing according to the Bible. Nothing. The burial starts after the going down of the sun.
We
be burying at 1 p.m. No. Bury your stars as it going down to the sun. Get it right now? Hey, Mother E, what you got in the 26th chapter, Mother E? Verse 19 down to verse 21 in Isaiah. What you working with, Mother? In Isaiah 26:19-21. What you working with, Mother?
The book of Isaiah chapter 26:19-21.
Yeah, yeah. What you working with?
I'm going to start with Isaiah chapter 26, 19 to 21. Isaiah chapter 26:19-21. That dead men shall live together with my dead body. No dead men shall live together with my dead body till they arise, awake and faint, that dwell in dust. For you do is as the dew of earth, and the earth shall cast out the dead. 20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself as if were for a little moment, until the indignation be overpaid. 21. For behold, the Yahweh cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their sins. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain.
Mm-hmm. So, Mother, according to Isaiah, where are all these dead peoples at, Mother? According to Isaiah, where are they at?
In the grave.
They're in the grave. They're not up and away. No, Mother. They're not up and away. Everybody is it. And the ones that have done right, they're going to wake up and start singing. And the ones that haven't done right, they're going to wake up. What kind of way there, young lion? What about the ones that haven't done right? Go to Daniel chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. See, we know exactly what's going to happen. We know the ones that done right. And we know the ones that they have not done it right. So we can read exactly how it's going to happen by looking at Daniel 12, 1, 2, and 3. So you got to examine yourself. Are you doing it right? But then what he said, he says in Daniel 12, 1, 2, and 3, what it says we can read there, Brother Titus?
The book of Daniel the Seer, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. Daniel the Seer, chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince was standing for the children of your people, Israel. And there should be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, your people, Israel, should be delivered. Everyone that should be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever.
Mm-hmm. He said now, they're gonna do what again, young man? Make it plain. What do you say gonna happen to them? Many that do what? Read that again, that young man.
Verse 2.
Daniel, yeah, see like, chapter 12, verse 2.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mother.
Yeah.
Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
You hear that, Mother? Some going to wake up. Remember, some going to wake up to everlasting life. I'm the one that's going to be singing. And some going to wake up. What kind of way that? Are you on my mind?
Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Now, let's precept that and see what that means. That's precept of Bible. See what that means, young line, in the fifth chapter of St. John, verse number 27 down to verse number 29. Let's see if we precept that and make it plain. See, when you precept the Bible, you make it plain. Only when you precept the Bible, that's when it comes plain, what you read in the book of Daniel, by precepting the Bible. What it say in St. John 5:27-29?
The book of beloved John, chapter 5, verse 27-29. John chapter 5, verse 27 reads, "And I have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man."
So we're clear. Now hold on. So we're clear who's going to do his judgment. Yahweh's Son is going to be the one that do the judgment. So he gave what's called authorization to his boy to execute and take care of his business. Now look what he said in verse 28 and 29.
The book of John, chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verse 28 read, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and that which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice."
Yes. 29.
Verse 29. "And shall come forth they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation."
Ain't that something? You hear that, Mother E? You see what I mean by one gonna sing? See, one gonna sing, that means he done good, Mother. See, when you've done good, you're gonna sing. But if you haven't done good, you're gonna be raised up to that done evil until resurrection of damnation. And that's big talk of death. So there it is, Mother. There go hell. So whatever a person, when he shut it down, you better make sure you're doing good. Hey, Mother E, but how you gonna be doing good, Mother? Romans chapter 7, verse 1, 12 and 16, Mother E. So you see about how Mother and 16. So Mother, you got to ask those we come in contact, are you doing good? Because if you're doing good, you'll be raised up and to be good. So, but you got to make sure they're doing good. They say, "Yeah, I think I'm being good." Then you say, "Okay, well, let me examine you, see if you're doing good according to the Bible. See, if I look at you, you look like you're doing good, but I won't know, do you align with this Bible being good?" Romans 7, 1, 12 and 16. What did it say that, Mother? You want to find out. See, you want to make sure they line up with the Bible good, Mother. Let's see what we got to run with. Romans 7, 1, 12, and 16.
Romans chapter 7, verse 1, verse 12, and verse 16. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over man as long as he lives." Verse 12. "Wherefore the law is righteous, and the commandments righteous, and just and good." Verse 16. "But then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good."
So, Mother, when they say they doing good, that means they're doing what, Mother? According
the
to
law.
To be doing good, you got to be doing what, Mother?
The law.
The law. So, your mother, they got to deal with that, Mother, because they might tell you, "Well, I'm good, I'm doing good, I believe I'm gonna make it." Then you got to sit them down, Mother, and say, "Well, if you're doing good, that means." When you read Romans 7, 1, 12, 10, 12 and 16, then once you read it, now answer the question. Are you sure you're doing good? Are you sure you're doing good? Then that's going to make them beg, mother, from that point on, that you get you some James 5:20 because you have made them think now. You have burnt the brains for a minute to think. See, when you're doing good, that means you love some Yahuwah. And read one verse, mother, in the closing statement about loving Yahuwah and 14 verse 15 of St. John. And give me one verse that you can close it out, mother. St. John 14:15. See, that means you love some Yahuwah. That means you're doing good. That means you love him. And let's see what it says, mother, in 14:15 in closing statement.
Look at St. John. That's the 14. Verse 15, St. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments.
So if you love me, read that again, mother. Matter of fact, read 15 and 21. Just get a precept with it. Read verse 15 and 21, then take your time and pass your powerful closing statement and remind them one thing. They got to hold on, but they got to do good, too. 15 and 21, mother, in the closing statement.
St. John, chapter 14, verse 15 and verse 21. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. 21, he that hated my commandments and keepeth them, and he that hated my commandments and keepeth
He that has my commandments.
Go ahead. He that is love me. And he that love me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him.
Well, tell you what, mother, go ahead and read verse 23, mother, because you don't, so you might as well read verse 23.
Verse 23. Yahuwah, the Son, answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
That was great, mother. That was great. So now these verses got to be dealt with. They got to be dealt with. Well, our loved one tells me, well, I love me some Yahuwah or whatever they want to call it besides Yahuwah. Then you have to put some book on them. Love is keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments. That's how you get the great love in with Yahuwah. See? Mother E, you stood tall again in glass now. What's your closing statement to win tonight? You're on the clock. Come on.
Thank and praising Yahuwah for the class. Thank and praising Yahuwah for the teacher. Thank and praising Yahuwah for the listeners. And I just want to read one verse. Verse 58. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 1. Cry loud, fear not. Lift up their voice like a trumpet. And show my people their transgression. And the family of Israel their sins. And I just said to each and every one that's listening, hold on, don't give up. Hallelujah.
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 That was powerful right there. So now, Elder, Mr. Tibbs, give me one verse there, Elder. And the book of Proverbs there, Elder. In the book of Proverbs, the wisest man in the world was given the vision to make a profound statement in 8:36 there, Elder. And I just want the national audience to hear you deliver the knockout blow in the book of Proverbs. Won't you deliver the knockout blow in 8:36 there, Elder, in the closing statement? Hey, yo, let's see what is saying that we can read in Proverbs 8:36, then precept that to Romans 6:23. So go back to back, Elder. Give me Proverbs chapter 8:36, then precept that to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, and a closing statement at Elder. Mr. Gibbs, come on.
Okay, looks like we're going to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 36, and reading the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse number 23. So the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verse 36 says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All may have hate me, love death." Going to the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life, through Yahweh the Son of our Yahweh."
Mm-hmm. So he says, "But he that sinneth against me wrong his own soul. All that hate me love death." He said in Romans 6:23, "And the price you're going to pay is death." Remember the young lion read, "Some going to wake up and start singing." That means they kept the law, statutes, and the commandments. And some going to wake up with shame and damnation. That means the angel going to come grab them just as fast as he can and get them to 66:24 of Isaiah to be thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. So listen, Yahweh knew his time, but we don't know our time. I think those that hear this message need to remember one thing. Make a Bible decision. Stop making a feeling decision. So your feeling decision is going to cause you to be in the wrong place at the wrong time at the resurrection. Elders and Tills, what your closing statement is until we hear you on tomorrow at 7 o'clock on Pair Talk with a live broadcast that was previously taped for the national audience that wants to log in tomorrow. Take your time, Elders. The floor is all yours, and come on.
Once again, Yahweh bless us here. Bless all the participants on the network for assisting us here, and all the people that were listening. Because you find that when we read the word of Yahweh, we have checked our facts. We do fact check, and we present it to you. But we have those out there that make anger statements, which is not fact check. Stay in the Bible, stay loose with understanding of Yahweh.
Hallelujah. All right, young lions, down to young lion. Now, Issachar boy made a profound statement there, young lion. What did Issachar's boy say in the 14th chapter, verse 1, 2, and 3, 5, 12 through 17 and 22? Hey, young lion, what did Issachar's boy say? And Job 14, 1 down to verse 3, skip down to verse 5, 12 through 17 and 22. Let's talk about Issachar boy for a minute. But Titus Israel, come on.
Book of Job the seer, chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3, verse 5, verse 12 down to verse 17 and 22. Job the seer, chapter 14, verse 1. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Verse 2. "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeteth also as a shadow and continueth not." Verse 3. "And doest thou open my eyes upon such as one, and bringeth me into judgment with you." Verse 5. "Then his days are determined the number of this month are with you. You have supported his bounds that he cannot pass. Verse 12 to verse 17. So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Verse 13. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would keep me secret until your wrath be past, that you would appoint me at set time and remember me. Verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? All the day of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Verse 15. You shall call, and I will answer you. You will have a desire to the work of your hands. Verse 16. For now you numbered my steps, do as you not watch over my sin. 17. My sin is sealed up in the bag, you sewed up my sin. Verse 22. But his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn.
He said, Job says, Issachar's boy say, read that verse again, you gonna call me and I'm gonna answer. Read that again there, young man. Take a deep breath and read that again. He said, you gonna call while I'm in that ground and I'm gonna answer that. This is Issachar boy saying that. Read that verse again.
The book of Job is here, chapter 14, verse 15. You shall call, and I will answer you. You will have me a desire to the work of your hand.
Oh, so now, is this the same Yahweh that gave Job all this blessing? Is that the same person, young man? A young lion. My question is this the same is in the book of Job 42? I just want to know something, young lion. I just want to know something in 42. Job said something in 42, verse 12. This was said in 42, verse 12. What did it say in 42, verse 12?
The book of Job is here, chapter 42, verse 12 read. So Yahweh blessed the latter end of Job the seer more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 600 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she-ass.
And what was the blessing he gave to Job in verse 16?
Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations.
So when you read that 4:15, is that the same Yahweh over here? Is this the same Yahweh? And is this the same? Now, anybody can answer this question, fine, but it's specific to you. Read verse 1 again. 4:21. 4:21.
The book of Job is here, chapter 42, verse 1. Then Job asked Yahweh and said.
How many letters is this?
Four letters. YHWH.
So Job was speaking to Yahweh, the four-letter man, and he said, you going to call me, and I'm going to answer. Is that what we're reading, young man?
Hallelujah.
Let's precept that. Here go your game changer, young line. Now, this is how you precept the Bible and just take care of your business. This is how you take care of business, young line. You're going to St. John chapter 5, young line. See, this is when you precept your Bible, that's a game changer. Think about verse 2 and 3, down to verse 30 in a closing statement. 26 down to verse 30. Hey, Mother E, listen to all this good reading and elder. Now listen to this. This is how you take care of the business right here. Now, your line gonna deliver a knockout blow and give us his closing statement. And St. John 5, pick up verse 21, down to verse 30 of that closing statement. Come on, young line. Pick up verse 21.
Book of John. The book of John, chapter 5, verse 21, down to verse 30. John, chapter 5, verse 21. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickened them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23. That all men shall honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honor not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It shall not come to condemnation, but it's passed from death unto life. Verse 25. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahuwah, the Father, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26.
Amen, young man. Who? Remember Joel said, you going to call me, four-letter man, and I'm going to answer. Now, what four-letter man was he talking to according to verse 25? Bring 25 out again. Listen good, mother.
Book of John, chapter 5, verse 25. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahuwah the Father, and they that hear shall live.
They gonna hear. They that hear shall live, and they that hear shall live. So who boy's gonna get everybody up, young line?
Yahuwah the Son.
Ain't that something? You hear that, mother? Yahuwah the Son gonna get everybody up. This is the one going to get it. This is the one tell you follow him. Verse 26 down to verse 30. Come out.
John chapter 5, verse 26 down to verse 30. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Verse 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, and the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. Verse 29. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me.
Now, how you get a Trinity out of that? How you get the Trinity out of the Father and the Son, and all judgment is given to the Son to take care of his business? See, Christianity is a morphine drip. That is most deadly poison that ever been formed by man's Christianity. Talking about a Trinity. It's all about the Father giving authority to the Son to take care of all the business of man in the ground, and you got to hear the Son's voice to get up. Not the Father's voice, the Son's voice. And on that note, Young Lion, closing statement, got enough said until Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Come on.
Well, I'm going to the Book of Jubilees. Going to the Book of Jubilees. Chapter 49, verse 1. Remember the commandment which Yahweh commanded you concerning the Passover that you should celebrate it in its season on the 14th of the first month, Abib, that you should kill it before it is evening, and that they should eat it by night on the evening, on the 15th, from the time of the setting of the sun. Verse 2. For on this night, the beginning of the feast and the beginning of the joy, you were eating the Passover in Egypt, Mizraim, when all the power of Messamah had been let loose to slay all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, Mizraim, from the firstborn of Pharaoh to the firstborn of the captain, maidservant in the mill, and to the captain. Verse 3. And this is the sign which Yahweh gave them in every house, on the lintels of which they saw the blood of the Lamb on the first year. Into that house they shall not enter to slay, but shall pass by it, that all those shall be saved that were in the house, because the sign of the blood was on its lintels. And the powers of Yahweh did everything according as Yahweh commanded them. And they passed all by, all the children of Israel, the Israelites, and the plague came not upon them to destroy from among them any soul, either of the cattle, or man, or dog. Verse 5. And the plague was very grievous in Egypt, Mizraim, and there was no house in Egypt. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Yeah, call that verse out again. Where you get that from again, that Young Lion?
The Book of Jubilees, chapter 49, verse 1, all the way down to verse 5.
Thank you. And that's what it's all about. See, that's what it's all about. See, this is how you're building a nation to understand. Ain't got nothing to do with no Easter. Whoever done the Easter got the Easter eggs and the pretty suits on. That was just a waste of time in the eyes of Yahweh. It's Passover time, and Passover is on the 13th day. At day and at night will be the 14th. You do that year to year. We're going to do it. We're going to eat them up and drink them up. And then we're going to sing songs. And we're going to, and then if anybody, you know, want to say, hey, see, you know, I think you a couple of days, a couple of low-down days. You know, I can respond back to you. You know, I can't respond back to you if I'm in the ground, because my spirit, my breath, went back to Yahweh. And I don't know nothing until that first resurrection. And when I do be raised up, hopefully I will be raised up good and start singing. Because I'm going to give it all I got to be raised up good and be singing. So, for the elders, for the mothers, sisters and brothers, and those on the international side over 900,000 strong, listen. Tomorrow, the elder have a take on at 7 o'clock on Pal Talk. Tune in and listen. Back on it live Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Be on time. Let's get something going on again. Because remember, everything we've done today, we've done today. What about tomorrow? We got to keep on doing Yahweh's business until he shut us down. Please do give us a Matthew 25:21. Well done, my good and faithful servant. James 5:20. If you help a sinner get his ways right, it hides a multitude of your sins, and I got many. That's why I give it all I got every night out. Remember one thing. We're not anti-anybody. We're not affiliated with anybody. All we affiliate with the six anointed camps of Voices of the True Israelites. That's our only business. Waking up the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites all over the world, come back upon the one banner, and Yahweh will return. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah,
Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Hallelujah. Yahweh.